Welcome to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. You know, I think anyone who uses the internet, and by now I guess that's everyone in the U.S., but children under two and maybe a few hermits living in caves, is aware that personal privacy is totally out the window by now. Nearly everything you do online, and everything you buy on Amazon, every website you visit, every ad you click on, and especially everything that you post on social media, generates data about you and your interests and your preferences, and that data is harvested and sold to organizations that use it to target you in various ways. So most of those purposes are commercial, to sell you stuff, but some are more nefarious, to try to steal from you or to manipulate you in other ways. Facebook's use of these data is well known, but recently an even greater concern centers on TikTok. And for those of you who may not know, TikTok is a social media app in which mainly young people post very short videos of themselves doing mostly fun and entertaining things. So TikTok posters, if they have a whole lot of followers, get paid when viewers see or click on advertisements shown along with the post, and some of them make a lot of money. So there are several reasons that TikTok is getting serious attention, even by government regulators. My guest today is Scott Drury, who's a privacy and civil rights lawyer in Illinois who litigates in this area and is a go-to expert on it. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks a lot for being on with us. Well, let's just dive into why TikTok is so controversial. First, who owns it?
TikTok is owned by a Chinese corporation called ByteDance, and it's there's just a lot that's unknown about it because of its Chinese ownership, and that's what makes it relatively controversial here in the United States.
How old is TikTok? I mean, it's pretty new. When did it start, do you know?
TikTok originated in the U.S., actually. It was called Musical.ly in around 2018, and then it was bought by ByteDance, and ByteDance changed the name to TikTok, and since then it's blown up pretty quickly.
Yeah, so I think ByteDance is strictly in China, but once it merged, then it became usable in the U.S. and around the rest of the world, right?
That's correct, yes.
So do you know how many users TikTok currently has in the U.S., or at least recently as far as we know?
TikTok, the most recent data I was able to see, has approximately 136 million users in the United States.
Good grief. I mean, that's what, a third of the population of the U.S.? I didn't realize it was that huge. That is a big demographic. So speaking of the demographics, I said that users are mostly young people. I assume that's accurate. Do you know?
Yeah. So when you look at TikTok's demographics, what you see is about 33% of its users are between the ages of 10 and 19, and then another 30% are between the ages of 20 and 29. So about 66% of the people using TikTok are under the age of 30.
Hmm. Yeah. So it's basically a Gen Z kind of thing. And people in my generation probably don't have accounts in it and probably don't get on and dance and sing and do the kinds of things they do on TikTok, but or maybe occasionally look at it. But I guess another related question then is, we talked about TikTok stars making money. So how many followers do popular TikTok posters have, broadly speaking? Any idea?
Well, this is what's pretty amazing. When you look at the top influencers on TikTok, there's influencers that have over 150 million followers worldwide. And then if you look at an average top influencer, they have anywhere between 20 and 50 million followers.
Wow. So how much money can people at that level make?
It's astounding. People are making millions of dollars per year when they're a top influencer. I've seen data showing that the top influencers can make up to $5 million a year.
Oh, my gosh. So it's a really quick path to millionaire status for somebody who might be a teenager.
Absolutely. And I think that drives a lot of people to try the app and see if they can, you know, have a viral video and see how far they can go with it.
My gosh, it's like going to Hollywood on a rocket and arriving with hundreds of other people or thousands of other people on a rocket and all of you jockeying for position. So I guess then a lot of users obviously view it as a career path. And you know, again, with the metaphor of Hollywood, how realistic is that? I wonder if, you know, only a tiny percentage make it to that sort of status you were just describing. I guess probably that's the case, but do you have any sense of that?
I think that's right. I don't have data on the numbers, but it really is no different than in my generation, someone getting in his or her car and driving to Los Angeles saying, I'm going to be an actor, not realizing that, you know, 100,000 other people or millions of other people are in their cars doing the same thing. And only a few of those people can actually succeed. But it doesn't mean that they're all not trying.
You know, I was first kind of prompted to do this show with you when I saw PBS special on a series called Independent Lens. It was called TikTok Boom, and it really went for, I guess, at least an hour into various aspects of TikTok and all its ramifications. And you were there. You were interviewed in that program, and also your son was too. And so it was kind of interesting because you're a litigator against these kinds of companies that make incursions into personal privacy. And yet your son, you know, just kind of give us a brief idea of his journey through TikTok a little bit.
Sure. And it shows just, you know, how these apps work and engage people. I learned one day from one of my best friends that my son actually had posted a viral video on TikTok, and that his daughter was a fan of my son's. And that they actually were upstairs, you know, watching my son perform live on a TikTok live stream. And when I went to talk to my son, he said, "Oh yeah, I've been doing TikTok, had followers, and actually had started having people reach out to him to, you know, pay him money to place their products and their music in some of his videos." And I'm, you know, very attuned to what's going on with kids and social media apps, and this was going on in my own home.
Yeah, it's kind of a good example of the generation gap. You're very attuned to millions of other kids, but not the kid upstairs. So anyway,
kids are going to be kids, I guess I'll put it that way.
Yeah, for sure. So have some of these multimillionaire, very popular TikTok stars broken out of the app and gone into mainstream success as entertainers in, you know, in the let's call it the real world, I guess it's the alternate real world or the old real world.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. I mean, the rules of the game have changed. So instead of somebody, you know, having to go to Hollywood and do a screen test or a record company finding them, these people are posting to TikTok. They already have a fan base, as we said, you know, of millions of followers. And then the companies are on TikTok now finding people that way. And you're seeing people, you know, become TikTok stars. You know, people with top music videos on TikTok are also, you know, at the top of the playlist on Spotify at the same time. Hmm. So it's a new way to make it in the old industry, I'll call it.
Yeah, and it's so new that it's kind of flying under the radar for a lot of us old fogies, right? So it's an interesting phenomenon. It's such a zooming rocket, yet we're only just now seeing the contrail. So it's kind of funny.
It really is.
You're listening to American Variety Radio, and I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking with attorney Scott Drury about TikTok in particular and kind of all its ramifications in terms of social engagement and privacy in particular. So what kinds of information, Scott, on users does TikTok collect?
Well, this is one of those issues where, you know, we have anecdotal data of what they're collecting, but because of its privacy, we actually don't know exactly. So the information that's out there is that if you create a video, to post a video to TikTok, at least at some point in time, even if you never posted the video to TikTok, it was already taking a copy just of the one you made and thought was just sitting on your phone. It's also taking data directly from your phone, device identifiers and other data coming directly from your phone. It's been reported that it can track your geolocation, so your latitude and longitude of where you're at in the world when you're using the app. And it's also tracking your overall usage, who you're following and who's following you. So it can create a pretty good profile about who you are, what you like, and where you tend to be.
What about your age and gender?
It can track that in a couple ways. The first way is when you register for the app, it asks you for information about your age and gender. It's also been reported that just through use of the app, when you're looking at the app or when you're recording your own video, that its own algorithm is making determinations about what your real age is and what your real gender is, even if you didn't provide truthful information when you signed up.
Hmm. So are there restrictions on age as far as being a poster on TikTok?
There are, based on some recent litigation, that TikTok users aren't supposed to be under the age of 13, but that's easily defeated with someone just, you know, changing the year of their date of birth to make them over 13 or over 16, and then they can have all the functionality of the app if they want to.
Hmm. So a lot of the information we might have about the age in particular of TikTok users is probably wrong, and there may be many more users. There may be very different numbers depending on how many people basically lie about their age.
I think that's right. And I think what you'd see is that, you know, I had said that about 33% of the users are ages 10 to 19.
Right.
that percentage is probably low, because on the lower end of that, there's probably children who are signing up saying that they're older than they actually are.
Yeah, and like you, their parents don't know they're doing it. So the Chinese version of TikTok, I think, is a company called Douyin. I don't know how to pronounce it exactly, but it might be owned by ByteDance. I'm not sure of the relationship between them, but I think there's supposedly a firewall between Douyin, the Chinese company, and the American version of TikTok, you know, the TikTok that we American users use. And the idea is that they don't share users and data. And there's kind of a, you know, a trust me, honor system relating to that between the Chinese company and the American company and the U.S. government. But do you think it's true?
I don't know. We know that TikTok and ByteDance makes that representation, but at the same time, we constantly are seeing reports from government officials in the U.S. saying that the data from the U.S. is being shared not only with ByteDance, but with the Chinese government. Hmm. So, you know, this concept of a firewall, there are statements from the company saying, yes, we don't do this. But then we have statements from our own U.S. government saying that that may not or probably isn't true.
Yeah, so a lot of the criticism focuses on what's called the recommendation algorithm that TikTok employs. So tell us about that, if you would.
Yeah, so a recommendation engine is the part of a social media app that tries to predict or tell you, you know, what you want to see next. And the purpose of that is to keep you engaged so that advertisers can keep showing you advertisements and the company can keep gathering data about you. What's unique about TikTok, and the best analogy that I've seen, is that normally when you go to a restaurant, you know, you look at the menu and the waiter waits for you to decide what you want to order. TikTok reverses that, and when you get to the restaurant, TikTok already knows what you want to order and tells you what you're going to have for dinner that night, and they tend to be right. And that's what's really scary about their app and their recommendation engine. It's how it's able to determine that.
Yeah, and I think another thing is that it tends to basically pigeonhole people into tighter and tighter pigeonholes so that young people end up clustered with people who are almost identical to them in terms of their interests and proclivities. And so that kind of isolates, I think it isolates groups of people in an unusual way who think that the whole world is like them. And, you know, talk a little bit about that aspect of it, if you would, which is kind of almost sociology and psychology in a certain way, but...
Sure. And I mean, and it's interesting, right? Because when I was younger, I remember when there were three or four channels on TV, and that if you wanted to watch the news, you had a choice of three channels, and whatever they were telling you, that's what you saw.
Yeah.
With an app like TikTok, everybody has their own news, and they're only seeing the news that's being fed to them. So they think that some, as you called it, you know, some very small, narrow gap of news is what's going on, and they don't see the rest of the world. And that can be really scary because it can start influencing your views and what you think and what you think is actually going on around you when you're just really living in a tiny bubble.
Yeah, I mean, you think you know what's going on in the world, but it's actually you're being programmed in a sense or brainwashed into a certain tiny point of view. It's so, as you say, that is kind of scary. In fact, more than kind of, it's scary. So what are some of the other problems with TikTok? For example, is it addictive?
Again, I can talk about data. I mean, to me as a parent, it seems like it is when you see how much your kids use this stuff. But on average, people are using TikTok an hour and a half a day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a lot just sitting there scrolling through things. And I can say when I talked with my son about the app, he said that it was much more powerful in terms of keeping you engaged than other social media apps, that you just, once you log on, you just sit and scroll and it just keeps showing you things that you didn't even know, like I was saying, you didn't even know you wanted to see. And then an hour and a half later, you've just been sitting there watching stuff that it's been feeding to you.
So the average time is an hour and a half a day. You can imagine that the on the other end of that, the far end of that spectrum is several hours a day of basically doing nothing but that.
Absolutely.
Incredible. I wonder if it leads to attention deficit disorder.
You know, there's starting to be studies on that, you know, with these apps and just everyone having a phone and getting information quickly. And, you know, I don't know what the results of those are, but I can tell you just talking with a lot of parents, because that's an area that I'm focused on in the privacy world, that there is a big concern just about some mental health aspects, behavioral health aspects of sitting on these apps all day long. a big part of it is kids aren't sleeping. They go to their rooms to go to, you think they're bed at night, they sneak the phone in their room and they're just up scrolling hours and hours and hours, and then they have to go to school the next day and haven't slept.
Wow. Another thing related to the idea of maybe it being a sort of brainwashing or propaganda is that I guess it would lend itself to spreading misinformation. It's not all singing and dancing, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's one of the concerns that the government has, is how is the app being used, you know, even over time, slowly influencing the way you think and what you believe is true, even if it's a jaded view of the world that's being fed to you.
You know, I heard from a friend of mine who's an expert on film and the way that interacts with society and vice versa, that TikTok's actually starting to influence the way that some movies, those movies that are aimed at young people, are directed and structured. Do you have any thought about that, or have you run across that idea?
I haven't heard too much about that idea, but, you know, obviously if the viewers of the movies are all addicted or using TikTok for 2 hours a day and they like getting things in short spurts or they like the format of it, it's not surprising that other companies in the media world are going to follow that, or at least feed the viewers they're looking for or what they want. I've noticed it just, you know, in movies now, all of a sudden, instead of people talking on the phone, they're texting each other because that's how people communicate.
Sure.
And similarly, you would expect companies to start, producing movies in a format that mirrors, what kids are looking at every day on their phones.
Yeah, I'm a guest lecturer at a local university, and I talk about the 60s for the most part and sometimes other topics, but told a couple people about that, and both of them said the same thing, because I say I try to make it lively because I'm the age of these kids' grandfather, right? And I try to make it engaging, and to 30 kids who are, grad students, so they're maybe 22 years old or something. And they both said, yeah, you better try to condense it to 15 seconds like TikTok, So there you go.
In my career, I'm a trial lawyer. Just the way we present information to juries has changed because it has to be more graphic. It needs to be quicker, and it needs to, have more drama to it than just showing them a piece of paper or a poster board. Because they're used to getting their information in a more dynamic way. So even in something that is as boring as the trial world, we've had to adjust.
That's crazy. You're listening to American Variety Radio, and I'm your host, Court Lewis. Again, we're talking with attorney Scott Drury about TikTok, which is already an amazingly pervasive social media app among young people in particular. And we're talking about I've started to say the good and bad aspects of it, but so far it's pretty much the bad. The bad aspects of it. So, along that line, is it actually dangerous to users to some extent? I mean, I'm thinking, it's a good conduit for pedophiles, for example.
Sure. I mean, it's been reported, and this was in the movie that you were discussing, that there was a feature on TikTok called Duets, where somebody could take someone else's video and then do their own videos and combine them into one. And you started seeing really creepy things of little girls posting videos of, just fun videos of them dancing. And then you've seen a duet, a really older guy just staring at them. And what it made it particularly alarming was at that point in time, TikTok was allowing anybody to get anyone else's geolocation information. So not only is this person staring at this little girl on the video, but this person also could have known where this little girl lived. And again, from a parent's perspective, this is your worst nightmare. It's not like there's a pedophile at the mall, which was bad enough, but now this pedophile is in your home looking at your kid and possibly able to communicate with them.
Wow. That is crazy. So who moderates the content? I mean, is it censored? Are there people watching that kind of thing and shutting it down? Or who does it, and what criteria do they use? Do you have any idea?
So I don't know that anyone knows the criteria that's being used. ByteDance, at the end of the day, is the company that owns it and would be responsible for that. In terms of censorship, it's been widely reported that ByteDance does censor information on TikTok, but the censorship isn't of the type I was just talking about. The censorship is to make TikTok happy so that only positive videos are showing up on a given day and that they're keeping negative information off, which again can have an impact on people posting and wondering why no one's watching their videos. So there does appear to be censorship, but not of the type to protect people, but more to protect the app and just protect its image.
Yeah, one of the young women interviewed in the film that, again, we mentioned, which was called TikTok Boom, was saying, I mean, she's American, right? But she's Muslim. And she was posting something about the abuse of the Uyghur people, a minority group in China, by the Chinese government. And within several hours after she posted a couple of videos, her account was shut down or temporarily suspended or whatever. And that video was deleted. And that would imply that that was done by the Chinese government or through China rather than by any U.S. employees, you know? So, I mean, I guess that's anecdotal, but I suspect, I mean, it looked pretty realistic until she showed a screen capture of the message that, the black message that she got on her phone from that. So I don't know. It's like, does the moderation in China differ on the face of it from the moderation of TikTok here? And I guess the question is, does it leak through? You know, does China really control it?
You know, based on you know, that clip, and I've seen it too, obviously, you know, it seems that the moderation is leaking through and is being run, you know, by someone outside of the United States. Now, certainly there's a lot of talk right now about Twitter, and it was being moderated, and now with its new owner, it's not. People have issues with that. But the moderation was different. It wasn't to suppress a view of the government that the government didn't like. It was to protect people from being attacked and take hate speech on and moderate hate speech. Someone whose view is that I think someone's being mistreated, that's not something that you would typically see being taken off of a video or someone being kicked off an app altogether in the United States. So that's what's particularly surprising and alarming when you hear those stories about TikTok.
Yeah, another thing that I've read is, and I don't know if it's exactly censorship, but it's a kind of shaping or control of the posting, is that someone somewhere is determining who's unattractive. And so people who are deemed as being unattractive for various reasons, or, you know, maybe it's even racial in some respects, that there's some control being exerted to keep certain kind of profiles off of TikTok, again, to make it look attractive and happy. So that's a kind of privacy concern, and it's, you know, certainly I would think it goes against free speech, if nothing else, right? But
well, it is, and again, from when you look at the demographic who's using this, you know, these are kids, and kids are easily influenced, and you know, there's a big surge of depression amongst young kids in the United States, and you could imagine that, you know, you're using TikTok and you see all these people, and your friends' videos are getting likes, and you're not, and it might be because TikTok's deemed you unworthy. It's just not healthy. Apart from all the other issues of them determining, you know, who's the right type of person that people should be looking at. There's all sorts of issues when you really dive into it.
Yeah, it's kind of like advertising in that regard. So, you know, we talked about it being viewed by the government as a national security risk, but as you just said, and as we've been saying, that most of the users are just kids and young adults. So just briefly, we're kind of getting toward the end of the show, but what kind of national security concerns would there be regarding the data from those young people?
Well, the big concern is that the data is believed to be going to China, and it's not known what the Chinese government is doing with it. But, you know, when you play it to a nefarious end, once a company knows everything about you, the company can start influencing the way you think, and it could use that for its own purposes. There's a lot of issues between the U.S. and China, apart from TikTok right now. But if TikTok has information about someone starting at age 10, by the time that person's 18, TikTok can start sending you information about an election coming up. And it might sway the way you're going to vote. And it could have, you know, misleading information. And so I think that's a scary part of it. And certainly you wouldn't have, you know, the head of the FBI publicly stating these concerns if there wasn't at least some truth to it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So with all those things in mind, several countries have banned TikTok, and even the U.S. under then-President Trump tried to do that. So just briefly, what happened with that effort?
So Trump, under his administration, tried to have TikTok banned, or said that it had to be bought by a company in the United States to address some of these concerns. TikTok went to court. And TikTok won, saying that the U.S. government couldn't dictate the terms of the company's sale. And so while there was a period where TikTok, it was going to be bought by Oracle and some other U.S. companies, that went by the wayside once TikTok won those lawsuits. And now the issues that the Trump administration was raising are now being raised again under the Biden administration. So we'll have to see what happens there.
So having said all this about the dangers of TikTok, the positive aspects are its entertainment value and stimulating creativity, which it really does if you look at some of it, and creating communities, which we've called little batches of programmed people, but they're also communities at the same time. So in your opinion, as an attorney, if you want to issue an opinion, I don't know, but what weighs more heavily in your mind, just as a parent and as a citizen, the good or the bad is bigger?
You know, I think as with everything, it's just people need to go into it with eyes wide open. Certainly there are good aspects about it. It created a free market for getting out there. At the beginning, we were talking about, can people, cross over? And TikTok gives someone the ability to make it in these, huge industries just by posting a video in their room. Mm-hmm. But they have to know that there's potential dangers out there. And there's a lot of unknowns about TikTok just in terms of the type of data it's gathering. But in all fairness, we don't know all the data that Facebook is gathering or all the data that Snapchat's gathering. It's just here. The added component is that the data apparently is going to the Chinese government. So that's one more concern.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I remember you're in that film that we've mentioned a few times now, your son, you're sitting on a park bench and saying, I'm against a lot of these companies. And he was saying, well, you asked him, does this bother you, this incursion into privacy? And he said, yeah, it kind of does, but this is, I'm paraphrasing in a way, but he said, this is a pool I've been swimming in since I was little, and it just comes with the territory, and I'm used to it. I don't really like it, but it's just part of what comes along with using this very attractive technology. So I guess that's...
It's not going away, right? I mean, and that, I think that was a very telling moment in the movie where he's like, I don't like it, but, this is the world I live in, and if you're a kid and you want to communicate, you have to be on these apps. And they know it. And that's just part of growing up now.
Yep. So we are down to just the last minute or so, Scott, but just briefly, what do you think the future of TikTok is likely to be? I mean, will it fall out of fashion like Facebook has and be replaced by something else? And I think these things even turn over at a faster rate than they used to now.
I think it probably will. Facebook just a few years ago was at the top of the world and everybody was using it. And now Facebook is concerned that TikTok has overtaken it. And, probably in the next few years, there'll be another app that's the next great thing, and all of the young users will go to that app, and we'll be having a conversation about the pros and cons of that app.
And who knows if it will be even more intensely bad in some of its aspects than this is. It's a brave new world, and we're not brave enough for it, I'm afraid. But anyway, well, listen, Scott, we are out of time, and I want to thank you so much for being on with us to talk about this interesting topic. It's been quite enlightening.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And thanks to all of you out there for listening. I hope you'll tune in again next week, same time, same place, for more American Variety Radio.